Welcome to the Disciple Making Leader Podcast, your resource for exploring the world of disciple making and leadership within the church. Discover Jesus' strategy for raising up leaders, growing the church, and multiplying a movement. Let's jump into today's episode and explore the power of a disciple making leader.
Well, hello, this is Ben Borgman with the Disciple Making Leader Podcast. Another episode coming to you, and super excited to have this conversation today and having a conversation with two of my favorite disciple-making leaders. We got Pastor Craig Etheridge.
Hey, everybody. Good to see you.
Loyal, faithful contributor over there, always with the Topo Chico.
Amen.
He's got it still cold over there. Hopefully,
any
listeners out there, we're just going to keep making a plea here. If you have any connections with the Topo Chico, we would love their sponsorship.
Absolutely. More Topo Chico. What can go wrong?
Craig loves his sparkling water. So, yeah, it's good stuff. And we've also, on the conversation today, we've got Cameron Bundy.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, Cam? Man, we're so thankful that you're on here. Cam is a trainer for Disciple First. He's one of our – we have a team of trainers that are all practitioners and people that are on church staffs and leading and just really lead and train out of their own personal experience. And that's what we're talking about today. We have a conversation about productivity. And so really we're having a conversation of how they as leaders, Craig leading at a organizational leader level, and then Cam as more of a divisional or departmental leader level, how are they maintaining productivity, moving the ball down the court as an organization, but also internally just as a personal leader, how do they stay motivated? How do they stay focused? And how do they truly lead their departments and their organizations really well?
Absolutely. And you know what? That's a hard thing to do. I think in ministry in general, it's easy to just be responding to the next crisis, you know. Yeah. We have Glenn that's one of our great traders, you know. I sent him a country song called The Fireman by George Strait, and it was a big joke because, you know, you're always stomping out a fire somewhere, and you can kind of have this fireman mentality where you're just constantly running to the next thing, and the next thing, you're always kind of behind, you never really got ahead of things, and you don't feel very productive, and I think that that's very common, don't you think, Cam?
Oh, yeah, I think it's very common to get to the point where you're going, man, I got all this stuff on my plate, now what do I do with it? So it's not even the fireman syndrome, but it's also the, man, what do I do syndrome? You know, I got all these big things I'm trying to juggle, and I really don't know how to take the big goals I've got, the big dreams, and to begin to really chop those up into small bites to where I can really live that out and get it on the calendar.
Yeah. Absolutely. So we're going to talk real practically about, I'm going to give you 5 steps to become more productive. Mm. And I think that now we're talking specifically within the confines of ministry, but a lot of these things can also bleed over into your personal life, your family life, and other things too.
Yeah, I think, and that's really what we want to do as an organization, and the purpose of this podcast and Disciple First is really we're just trying to equip you with practical ways to be a disciple-making leader and lead a disciple-making ministry and ultimately make disciples like Jesus. So, you know, if you're listening, go ahead and just to know there is a framework and kind of a guide for you as a free download. If you just check the show notes of this episode, you can go and you can download that. And hopefully it will be something that can take, like Cam said, take all these things that are going on in your life and in your ministry and all the demands that brings and just consolidate that, give you a little bit of focus, a little bit of direction. And man, I'm really looking forward to this conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's just jump on into it.
Yeah.
When you think about productivity, we're going to start from the 30,000 foot level, kind of the big picture, and then we're going to bring you all the way down to ground level, okay? So there are 5 stages of becoming more productive, and that first stage is developing key result areas. Now, key result areas are what we call KRAs in our area, in our church, is simply to identify measurable outcomes that provide both guidance and accountability to lead your organization. So you're going to say, okay, what are the priorities? What are the measurable outcomes that I would like to see accomplished in our church, in our ministry over the next year, 3 years, 5 years? You can put a time stamp on it if you like. But what are the key result areas? Now, I would say there's not 20 of them, right? These are 3, 4. And really, it's preferable that these KRAs are consistent over that period of time that you set so that you can see that you're measuring progress as you go. But KRAs are a big deal in our environment. We as senior leaders try to establish what our KRA is for a whole church, and then those get drilled down into every department. But also within a department, Cam, you're leading a department, you've got to not only incorporate those KRAs that are global, meaning across the whole organization, but also there are some that you want to do specifically to your area. Is that right?
Right. No, exactly. And so when you get that down and boil it down to department level, it makes it very easy when you have these key result areas to really align your whole team towards these things, right? Otherwise, you just get people going, well, this is really the target, or really this is the target, or they don't know what the target is at all. And then you get to the end of the year and go, well, what do we really accomplish? So right. These really drive your whole team and allows you to have a piece that you can communicate clearly, this is the win.
Many times, pastors and leaders are just living from weekend to weekend. Mm-hmm. You know, I got to deal with these teachers, or I got to deal with this problem. I got to recruit some more people. I've got to get through the worship service. I got to get my sermon done. And everything is a day to day, week to week. And you can go through a whole year, look up and go, did we really go anywhere? Did we really even move the needle anywhere? We just survived the weekend.
Yeah, you're real busy.
That's right. Yeah. Super busy, but activity does not always equate to productivity. Yeah. And so how am I more productive is what we're talking about. And that really is getting your head up, looking and saying, what are the three or four key areas that I want to focus on and make sure that I'm giving attention to move us down the line. Yeah. Here's some key questions to ask when you're identifying these KRAs. Here's one. What is mission critical for me to accomplish right now and to fulfill the mission God's given me? What is mission critical that I really need to address? It may be winning more people to Christ. It may be retaining guests, you know, that come. It may be, you know, developing leaders. Whatever. What is mission critical for your organization right now? Second question, what specific results from my work would drive my mission and the mission of the organization further down the track? In other words, you know, what are some things that would really move us forward? That's another great question to ask. Another one is, how would I measure my work success this year? You know, what would I determine would be successful? What would not be successful? Those questions can also begin to shape, man, these are some areas that I really want to work in. What spells success for me in the next 12 months? I think these are all really good questions to start asking. Okay, what's mission critical? What would be successful? What would drive us forward? What would move us down the line? And then you want to try to kind of cull out of that the top three or four. Sometimes in developing this, I know Cam, you do this. You may brainstorm, you know, brain dump on a whiteboard. By the way, you can't do any critical thinking without a whiteboard.
Got to.
Exactly.
I love what you know, I'm going to be buried with a whiteboard.
I'm going to breathe through a whiteboard.
Don't tell his wife.
That's right. Don't tell this. But, you know, you can brain dump a lot of this stuff and then go through and maybe make it collaborative. Get some other people around you to start circling. Which of these do I think really surface as the most important things we should accomplish in this time frame?
Yeah. And I think one of the things, just to kind of throw this in here real quick, but I had someone on my team one time, they said, well, Cameron, why are we doing key result areas? Like, is the Great Commission really the end goal? Like, why don't we just aim at that and just forsake these key result areas? And I remember we had that conversation and I said, look, yes, the Great Commission is the goal, but how we get there, that's what these key results are doing. It's giving us an aim to say, okay, how are we accomplishing the Great Commission within our church, within our department, and within our community? And so don't resist this and think, oh, well, I don't really need this because we have the Great Commission. No, you really want this in order to really begin to fulfill the Great Commission in a meaningful way, in a way that you can say, man, we actually made progress this year.
Yes, absolutely. And I can testify to this, that when you keep your KRAs, you know, for a specific period of time. Like, we just are recalibrating our KRAs for the next 8 years. Mm-hmm. So this is something we're doing right now in real time. You can measure progress.
Yeah.
And it is very encouraging to the team to say, look at where we were 12 months ago and look at where we are today. Look at where we were 2 years ago or 3 years ago. And they're like, wow, we are clicking down the line here. And that progress really motivates the team.
Yeah, and it's so clear to have that. We have those for Disciple First too, in a ministry setting, that you know we have those clearly defined areas, and it just it really gives strategic focus, and it kind of filters out the things that okay, that may be a good thing, it may be something that may have some type of benefit, but is it really who we are? Is it really going to help us move down the court? And is it going to provide focus of resources, time, people, yeah. money, all those things. If you don't have that, all of a sudden, those things are going to get spread really, really thin.
Yeah, mm-hmm. no doubt. In fact, I was, you know, sometimes a good idea, just I can't pass it up. And so I thought, oh, we should get such and such to come do that. And the guy next to me said, which KRA does that move forward? Ooh. And I thought, you know what? Touche. You know, that is a great question. You know, he didn't shoot it down. Yeah. He just asked a very, but that focuses you, right? Yeah. And if you tend to be a little ADD in your personality and your makeup, and you tend to bounce around, these KRAs will harness you a little bit so that you can be more productive moving forward. So that's the first thing I would say, the 30,000 foot view. What are these key result areas for your ministry that you really want to move forward? Now, if you're not in the driver's seat of the whole organization, maybe you're a departmental leader, your youth pastor, worship pastor, you can still create KRAs for your department. So you're not dependent on your pastor to do that. But if you are a lead pastor, what great benefit you would give, right? If you would help identify those KRAs for the church as a whole and let every department, you know, yeah. Have a part to play in that. So once you've identified these are my key result areas for a given period of time, then what you want to do is start to set goals for that. Okay, if one of my KRAs is developing leaders, well, then how many leaders do you want to develop this year? Mm-hmm. And we just did an episode on developing leaders. And so that's a very tangible one. If it's evangelism, well, then how are you going to measure that? Is it how many people shared their faith or how many people came to faith in Christ? You know, you're starting to set some general goals for that. And again, goal setting, some people love them. You know, I'm one of those people. I never met a goal I didn't like. other ministries, they resist them. Cam, why do you think that some pastors resist setting a goal?
Well, I think you brought it up. I mean, when someone said, Craig, we ain't doing that, where does that fall under what KRA? I mean, that doesn't feel real great, does it? I mean, when someone holds you accountable, a lot of people resist accountability. They don't like where you can bring up and say, well, Cam, you said that you're going to launch, you know, 10 groups this year. You're going to launch X amount of leaders this year. And you get to the end of the year, and then you have to give up, you know, an account for your why you didn't hit your goal. I mean, that doesn't feel great. But I always say, hey, let's change that perspective a little bit and say, hey, progress over perfection. Okay, let's say, okay, man, let's celebrate how far you came and got towards that goal, and then let's evaluate why we didn't hit that goal. And so I think we view accountability as kind of, man, I'm going to get shamed and get fired. Well, that's not really the case. Hopefully you're in a healthy place that doesn't happen. But really looking at it as a way of saying, man, let's celebrate the progress we made and then evaluate why we didn't make it. Yeah. And so I think a lot of it is just they don't like the feeling when you don't hit the goal.
Yeah, and there's a fear of failure, I think, in a lot of people. Like, if I don't hit this goal, then I'm going to lose my job, or I'm going to look like a failure, or, you know, something bad's going to happen. And I think we just have to move past that. You know, your goals, if you set goals so low that you can accomplish them, like, I'm going to breathe, you know, today. Yeah, I'm going to fog a mirror. Yeah. Well, that's not moving you forward at all. I would much rather, and I tell our team all the time, I would much rather you set a stretch goal and get after it and not hit it, but you look back over your shoulder and say, we didn't hit that, but man, we came a long way. Praise God for that, and it causes me to be more prayerful, and it causes me to have to walk in faith and all these things that kind of goal will create than just to play it safe.
But I think some people, that's another hesitation, is that, hey, isn't this a spiritual work? Isn't, you're telling me that we're supposed to measure this? I can't measure spiritual things or the Holy Spirit, you know, how the Holy Spirit works. And that's right. There are intangibles that we can't.
I'd be triggered right now by people that have said that to me.
right? So in your perspective, when you're setting a goal, how is that a spiritual work? So if they were to come to you and you got triggered, how would you respond to them? That, because I know you, I've seen you lead for 17, 18 years. Yeah. It is a spiritual work when you're working towards these goals. It is not a number on a deal, like on a board. It's not that. This is for kingdom purposes. This is a spiritual dependent exercise.
Right. Absolutely. So you are on your knees. You're praying. You're asking God. You know, I just preached on Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to immeasurably beyond all we can ask, think, or imagine. And it just, I'm always asking the question, am I just shooting too small? You know, I mean, wouldn't you hate it to get to heaven and Jesus say, you know, I would have done a lot more if you just asked me. I mean, you think about Peter. I'm going to preach now here for just a second. You know, when you see Peter walking on the water, and we always talk about, well, there's, you know, one guy on the water and 11 guys in the boat and that kind of thing. And that's true. But what really stood out to me is that Peter asked Jesus for something that was impossible for him to do. He said, mm-hmm. can I come to you?
Yeah.
Nobody else was asking that. Yeah. And so you have one guy doing something that's impossible to do because he asked, where you got 11 guys in the boat that never asked. And I don't want to get to heaven and say, Graham, man, if you just asked me, I would have done so much more, but you never asked me.
So can I add something to that? So I think you're getting onto something, because even as I'm reading in John 15 right now, 15, 16, and Jesus keeps saying over and over to his disciples before he's leaving, if you ask in my name, my Father will give to you, and that will make your joy full, and it will glorify my Father. And so really the revelation I'm kind of having right now when you're talking about this is, you know, when we're setting these goals and these key result areas, we're really saying, okay, I'm asking the Father,
yeah,
will you give us this? Man, I'm grabbing a hold of his willingness, not his reluctance, and saying, God, would you do this?
Yeah.
And then we're going to set the goal and say, man, we will do all that we can do within our power and under the power of the Holy Spirit to get there. But man, God, we are setting this goal to say, we believe in it.
Yeah. Yeah. And these goals are not, tangential to the Great Commission, right? I mean, these are in alignment with the Great Commission. They're in alignment with God's heart. We know he wants people to be saved, and we know he wants leaders developed. He's told us in his word. These are not question marks.
Yeah.
So we're praying in agreement with what he's already told us he wants us to pray. And I just think it pleases our Father to throw something out there and say, man, God, would you give us this?
Yeah.
And not for our pride, not so we can write a book and make a lot of money on it or whatever, but just to glorify his name and advance his kingdom. Yeah. So God knows our heart. And so to people that say, well, that you can't measure spiritual growth, I just totally disagree with that. Fundamentally, I disagree, because Jesus clearly had a pathway and he clearly measured the progress down that pathway. And so I believe Jesus did that. I believe we can too. And quite frankly, that can be just a cop-out.
Yeah.
It can be a cop-out just not to do it.
And I think it is. That is a distinctive of what we're saying and what we believe is healthy and biblical is not setting some numbers over here. I think you used the tangential. Like, it's not, hey, God, will you get on our program? Will you come over to our agenda? It's, no, we're aligning ourselves with the heart of God. And then as a leader, you are saying, this is where I have prayerfully, with walking with God on a regular basis, said, hey, this is where I think we need to go as an organization, and then trusting him to move towards that and for all the results.
Yeah, and I just want to make a very simple clarification here. Goals are different than objectives. You know, objective is something that you're going to do. A goal is an outcome you're shooting for. Mm-hmm. And so when you set a goal, our outcome would be we want to launch 10 groups. You know, we're just dreaming. You know, that's a crazy dream, but we're going to just dream more. 10 groups, you know, or 1,000 people to be saved this year, or you know, whatever it is. Yes, it's a number, because number helps us identify it and define it and clarify it, but it's an outcome that you are hoping to achieve. Mm-hmm. Now, once you've set that goal, then you're going to have to come down to, you know, what would you do, Cam, in order to reach 10 goals? I'd have to find new leaders and I have to train them. Well, then those become kind of the work that you're doing to hopefully produce that result. And it's all up to the Lord whether you hit that goal or not. You're holding it loosely.
Yeah.
But you're at least pursuing it. But these types of things, setting these key goals, they're underneath the headings of these KRAs, is like aligning, you know, it's like aligning your shot. You know, if you shoot, you know that you've got to align your sights on your front and your back sights to get everything in alignment to hit the target.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing is true here. You got to align your KRAs and your goals together so that you know that the work you're doing is moving in the same direction, mm-hmm. and you're not just working in a helter-skelter, kind of scattered kind of way.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because what's going to happen is once you start moving towards those objectives, the things that you're doing on a day-to-day basis, that's really going to lead into greater productivity. Because now the things that you're doing on a day-to-day basis, the objectives are leading towards the goals you set, towards the key results that you've established, and now you're going, okay, now that large goal that I wanted to set for the year doesn't seem as big and scary. Now it's doable.
Right.
Now we have marching orders. Now we just run the play for the year,
right,
and we get after it. And then I think to it, and then allowing room for the Spirit to move, because it is a spiritual work. And
it
so
is.
There are things we have to come back to the drawing board and go, you know what, man, God surpassed what we dreamed. Mm-hmm. And so now we got to reorganize and revision. Or maybe, you know what, God's really been leading us in this direction. And so we're going to have to pivot a little bit on our goal on this. And I think that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, I have a goal right now that I'm looking at that I set 6 months ago, and I haven't moved the needle on it at all. Mm. And come to find out, you know, really for that to move forward, a couple of things have to happen that I'm not in control of. So I've got to kind of massage it. And I guess I'm just saying that to say it's okay for you to set something, and you've got to pivot in the middle. You've got to make adjustments. You run into roadblocks. That's natural. And so don't feel like you're a failure because of that. It may be that you just need to kind of restructure that a bit. And you can do that in consultation with the guys you're working with so that we're hearing from the Lord. You know, if you hit a roadblock, you may just need to pray, Lord, what are you stopping this? Are you resisting this? You know, the Apostle Paul wanted to go to one direction, and they said, the Spirit resisted me, but it led to a different direction. Yeah. And so you have to hold these things loosely in a bit. But KRAs is kind of the big picture, your key result area. Underneath that, you're going to set some goals, outcomes we'd like to accomplish that. And then you're making some objectives, some to-do lists, so to speak, of how we're going to accomplish that. Then here's the secret sauce, all right? Because sometimes we get that, and then we're like, but I've still got Wednesday and Sunday and conflicts and hospital visits and all these other kind of things. And then I don't ever see those again. And then I get to the end of the year like, well, I didn't do any of that. You know, it's like it never got from the marker board to your calendar.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so the way you connect those, or one friend of ours says the compass to the clock. I love that. Yeah. Now, I mean, here's the compass. Here's where I want to go. Yep. But how do I get it into the clock? How do I get it to my day to day? And that is the step number three, and that is having a personal retreat day. You have a personal retreat day. We have talked about this. We've given out.
Yeah, we have an outline for that in a previous episode from, I believe, season two, and it's on spiritual health of a leader. And there's a free download there that outlines a full day, like exactly you give questions that you ask yourself,
yep,
just health, able to check on your spiritual health, able to, and you talk about, okay, well, what are your goals?
Right.
For this next month, how are they coming? What do you need to work on? And so we have that outline. Go check that episode out, and then go in and you can download that and see what we're talking about on a very practical hour by hour look at it.
Yeah, this personal retreat day is important because what you do is you step out of the fray, you step out of the whirlwind of the activity around you, and you give some time to pray and to search your own heart and soul and get your own pulse and redirect what has God been saying to you. But also part of that personal retreat day is to look at your KRAs and look at your goals, mm-hmm, and what progress you're making.
Yeah. And I want to introduce something here just a little bit, because I've been trying out this personal retreat day, and I've been doing it on my own for a while, and it's been super beneficial, right, to really say what you said, Craig, is to take, okay, what is God saying to me? Maybe that I've been missing. Man, where am I going and aligning for the next month? But a cool thing I've been doing, I got a couple guys on my team right now. We've actually been doing that day together. But I don't mean together like, well, hey, we're sitting next to each other the whole time. We actually will be separate for most of the morning. We regather for lunch, and then we go back out during the afternoon. And what's so cool, and we have rules set in place. When we come to lunch, we're not talking work. We're talking about, what did God speak to you? And then what is your direction for the next 30 days? That's all we're going to talk about. And then shoot the breeze and kind of hang out. And it's been super beneficial even for my team. Mm-hmm. And so it's not disrupting my personal one, but it's actually bringing us all together as a team saying, okay, man, we're hearing from God. We're seeing the direction. And at lunch, it's this cool merging, because by the time we get to lunch, oh, it's so sweet, because I'm like, oh, we all know what we're doing next month. We've heard from God. It's been cool to hear how, man, God's been speaking to Ben and to Craig. And, man, I'm encouraged. And so the whole day, instead of going away and my team's like, where's Cam? We're all together doing it. And it's
I really like
neat.
That. You know, I'm really encouraged to hear that. And I could see how that could build a lot of accountability, mm-hmm, number one, because you're doing it. But number two, just some encouragement, right?
Yeah.
That you know that your guy that you're working here with is seeking the Lord and hearing from God and know what God's, you know, articulated for the next month.
Yeah.
And you can share that too. And I can just see how that could breed a lot of camaraderie. Mm. Yeah. So this personal retreat day, whether you do that individually or do it with your team, I think is super important, because you're pushing away from your daily activity. You're hearing from God. What is God saying? And you're reviewing your goals and you're reviewing your objectives of what you need to accomplish. Are you ahead? Are you behind? What needs to be done? And then here's the secret sauce. At the end of that personal retreat day, you need to write out my next 30 days. I put a just a Word doc, and I type in like 40 font. It's huge. My next 30 days. And then underneath that, I just list off, here's what I'm going to do personally. Here's what I'm going to do professionally. Here's what I'm going to do spiritually. And I just, it's short little bullet points. The next 30 days, I'm going to have this appointment. I'm going to complete this, you know, this talk, or I'm going to go visit with this person, or I'm going to take this guy out to lunch that's lost that I've been putting off having this meeting with him. And they're very simple, pragmatic things I'm going to do that either I did them or I didn't do them.
Yeah.
And then I print that off and I put it, you know, right where I can see it all the time. I keep it in front of me throughout the week. And then at the end of that personal retreat day, I actually start setting some appointments.
Okay.
So I'll say, okay, I'm going to have this meeting with this guy. So I need to go ahead and text him right now. Hey, can we get together tonight? And I start setting appointments. So I review that every week over the next 30 days, and I start setting appointments. Once a week, I'll get together and I'll look at that again. Okay, boy, I got to do this one this week. I'll do this one this week. I'll do this one the next time. I'll do these and these on this day, on this week. And just over the next 30 days, I'm pacing this out to have these meetings and have these appointments or to accomplish this work that I need to do. And what I'll find is at the end of the 30 days, I may have all those things checked off.
Yeah.
Right? Now, I may not. I may at the end of the 30 days not. I have some.
What have you been doing? You've just been sitting around?
Yeah, that's right. Well, you never know. Life happens, right?
Like you're doing anything else.
Right. Things come up. And so I may not get to it. And I'm just saying that to say it's okay. Yeah. You know, you need to ask yourself, why didn't you do that? Sometimes I didn't do it because I really just didn't want to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I really didn't want to call that guy. I need to have this appointment. I need to, but I just, so it's a great question to ask myself. Why is that? What are you resisting here? What are you concerned about? To really start praying through that, right? But it gets very concrete out of that personal retreat day that my next 30 days are going to do this, and I start calendaring those things out. Usually on Sunday afternoon, I look at kind of my week coming up, and I'll start setting the appointments or breaking out time to work on certain things. And that gets it all the way down to my calendar. And what can happen then is if you do this month after month after month, you're going to look back and you say, I was extremely productive. I knocked these things off. All these objectives now that I set have been accomplished, and those goals are now being reached, and those KRAs are now being driven forward.
Yeah.
And it all lines up together. And again, that takes some discipline. Yes, it takes some, but people that are undisciplined are not going to be very productive in general.
So, as an encouragement, kind of as we get close to wrapping up, Craig, is your natural bent to be very structured and methodical like this?
Actually, no. And the reason why is because,
and if you can't see, if you're listening, I was holding in laughter the whole time because I've known Craig again for 17, 18 years.
That's right.
I think this is in response to his natural bent.
That's right. That's it. That's exactly right. My wife is incredibly scheduled. She is so much more disciplined than me. This morning, you know, I had about 45 minutes home. I was going to have to change it. She goes, I said, let's go get coffee. She goes, I can't get coffee until I work out first. I'm like, yeah, you can. You can just go right now. She goes, no, I this is my schedule. You know, and I'm like, oh, I wish I had her discipline. I really do. I admire it. But I've learned to adapt to this structure because it helps me to be productive, and I love to be productive.
Yeah.
I love to look back and say, hey, these things were accomplished, and I was prayerful the whole way through. It wasn't like I wasn't praying about it. On my retreat day, I'm praying about it. As we're drafting them, I'm praying about it. Every week, I'm looking at them and praying about it. And so I really sense the Lord, you know, moving in my life and directing me and helping me be more productive for the kingdom.
Yeah. And just don't waste your life. You got one.
Yeah.
So why are we sitting around just hoping things will get done? Rather, let's go ahead and make a plan to get it done.
Yeah.
And I think most people do. I mean, you're in ministry because you're an impact-driven person. Mm-hmm. And so, but knowing yourself, hey, these are healthy parameters to help me move. and actually feel accomplished and actually move the ball down the court. So thank you both for this conversation today. Really enjoyed listening from your heart as a leader. Hopefully that's encouraging to you as a listener. There's a couple of things I just want to remind you of. We will have a download that just really has this simple framework that you can go on in the show notes, and you can click on that, go down, download that, have it for free, and hopefully it gives you enough kind of a roadmap to work towards productivity on your own. But really, from a Disciple First standpoint, you know, one of our KRAs is coaching. That's one thing that's been established for a few years now, that we want to continually be able to help you as a leader implement what we're talking about. We don't want to just write books and do podcasts and hear ourselves talk, because most of us don't like hearing ourselves talk. I know I don't. And so, but what we really want to see are leaders that are empowered and that feel encouraged and equipped. So if that's you, hey, if you're struggling with this, reach out in the show notes again. We'll have a way you can click on. If you're interested in coaching, we can get Cam, we can get Craig, we can get one of our other coaches to really help you develop a plan to be more productive, because everybody's different. Every church is different. Every context is different, but you don't have to go it alone. So thank you again for listening. We appreciate your time. We are praying for each and every one of our listeners and leaders that are out there. So we hope you enjoy this episode. Thanks.
Ministry can be lonely. Now more than ever, pastors are feeling the pressure of raising expectations among their members. Pastors are expected to be stellar preachers, effective evangelists, thoughtful counselors, courageous change agents, astute business managers, all the while steering the church to accomplish its mission. And all of this can be overwhelming at times. Wouldn't it be great to have someone in your corner, someone who understands what you're facing and can help you make the wise decisions that lead the church to make disciples of all nations? Disciple First is here to help. We can provide you with personalized coaching that will help you develop and sustain a healthy movement of multiplying disciples. Our coaching includes a free evaluation to identify your church's health and your current sticking points. Also, a roadmap for sustained health and a team of proven leaders that will give you customized counsel to help you move forward. Listen, you don't have to be alone in ministry. Let's start talking today. For more information and a free ministry evaluation, go to disciplefirst.com/coaching. That's disciplefirst.com/coaching.
Thank you for listening to the Disciple Making Leader podcast, brought to you by Disciple First. We hope today's episode has been both helpful and challenging in your journey to becoming a disciple making leader. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button to make sure you hear the next episode. And if you have a moment, we'd love to hear your thoughts. Leave a review and share this podcast with your friends. Until next time, keep making Jesus the model for your life and ministry.